This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
Well, shares of Jack in the Box, they're up roughly about 17% this year after a 19% gain last year. The fast food chain recently reported earnings. First quarter comp store sales came in better than analyst estimates. Earnings beat too. So we thought, how great that we're going to have an opportunity to look at the business and the outlook with Darren Harris, CEO of San Diego, California-based Jack in the Box, joining us on the phone on this Tuesday. Darren, so nice to have you here on Bloomberg. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Carol.
Well, take us back a year. Were you feeling great at the time in terms of every, like, how was your world?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting time to join a company in the middle of a pandemic.
And right.
Try to get to know your staff and your team and lead them when you haven't even met the whole team in person for months into the pandemic. But, you know, our focus was really how do we, you know, focus on making sure that our employees and our guests were safe. And by being able, our ability to do that and focusing on that, we were able to really drive our off-premise business and enable product innovation. And as you just mentioned, led to our best year in 27 years,
yeah.
Our best quarter in 27 years.
So how did you do it? How did you ensure that customers are safe? How do you ensure that employees are safe? What are the changes that you're making to your restaurants?
No, definitely. We're making a touchless environment. We're always looking for, you know, each day making sure employees' health safety checks are happening. Even during my training, joining the company, I went to go to my first training restaurant to go through training as any employee would. And we shut the restaurant down because we had one employee who was quarantined. And so, you know, being that diligent about making sure that, you know, we're taking care of our team members, then we can take care of our guests.
Hey, talk to us, if you could, Darren, about the mix. Because from my understanding is before the pandemic, I think drive-through was about 70% of your sales. Dine-in and takeout delivery was about 15% apiece. So give me an idea of how that changed. What's the update during the pandemic?
Yeah, during the pandemic, about 99% of our business is off-premise.
Okay.
And so substantial change. You know, we were already heavily off-premise, but during this time, it switched pretty dramatically.
And I just want to make sure I'm understanding the verbiage here. When you say off-premise, you mean drive-through, but also is it walk-up too?
It's also delivery. Yeah, it's walk-up, delivery. And drive-through.
How have you figured out delivery? What's the right way to do it? A lot of restaurants are struggling with this right now.
You know, for us, it's about making sure that we engage our guests. We give them opportunities to order in the way that they want to order versus online through our app or through the third-party major delivery providers. So we give them access to do that in many different ways and try to make it as frictionless as possible.
But you would rather have them order through your app if you had your druthers, right?
You know, obviously through our app, it continues to enable us to build a database that we can constantly communicate to our guests and create a one-on-one relationship. So yes, we would always enjoy, you know, having people engage in our app and really focus on being a brand, you know, a brand loyalist.
But does it reduce the commission that you have to pay third parties in order to deliver the actual food?
It's good for the, you know, it's good for the guests and it's good for us as well from a margin standpoint because it is a lower cost.
So I'm curious, you know, Darren, like a lot of businesses, and I think about this especially with groceries, like people who didn't order online groceries before all of a sudden had to do it because of the pandemic and now they're a customer. So how do you plan to keep maybe some of the newer, higher income customers that you've been able to gain during the stay at home orders and restaurant dining room closures? How do you hold on to them when all of a sudden the world opens up and there's lots of choices?
Yeah. You know, during the pandemic and early on in my tenure, we did a lot of work around understanding our guests, why they come to us, why they leave. And so we've been very focused on making sure, you know, we're providing them the offers that they want. So as an example, we've had the benefit of more premium items during the pandemic that have resonated with our higher income guests. And so it's driven incremental sales through really some snackable and craveable items like our tiny tacos, our sauced and loaded fries, and then the innovation with our new chicken line. And all of those have raised our system-wide sales and AUVs.
Let's talk chicken.
What's AUVs?
Oh, go ahead. And then we'll talk chicken.
Sorry. Yeah. annual unit volume.
Okay, so cool.
Average unit volume.
Sorry.
Can we talk chicken now?
Because I'm hungry.
We've seen a huge resurgence in chicken, especially when it comes to chicken sandwiches. How are you guys partaking in the chicken sandwich wars?
Yeah, so we're leaning all in. And for us, chicken has been a strong performer, you know, in the middle of the pandemic. We'll continue to innovate. We rolled out our Cluck chicken sandwich, and we'll continue to look at ways to connect with guests through chicken. We found that chicken is less price sensitive, and it also allows us to create different flavor profiles that really fit the Jack in the Box DNA, which is one of innovation.
Hey, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Darren, outlook, visibility, what does the economy look like in your view?
You know, from this standpoint, definitely we're seeing, you know, as we start to come back or lap the pandemic, we're seeing, you know, performance across all geographies. We're starting to see, you know, people come back into our restaurants and frequent them. And we're excited about that, what that may mean for the future.
I want to talk a little bit about franchises and franchisees. And look, full disclosure, I come from a franchisee family. That's what my dad did. He was a Taco Bell franchisee, no longer involved in that, but it was something that I got to see up close and personal. And in fact, my first job was there when I was 14. So I got to work fast food and really see it from that perspective. How are you thinking about franchisees right now? Like, what were you doing? What was Jack in the Box doing a year ago to support the thousands of stores that are franchisees during the pandemic and to help them transition to this off-premise business?
Yeah, so overall, it's, you know, we're always looking at how we provide a comprehensive support system, whether it's, you know, with design and construction to make sure that they can maintain a safe environment as they engage the guests in the pandemic, or, you know, with training or marketing. And we're also constantly in R&D, like I mentioned, rolling out new products during the pandemic to ensure that franchisees are provided the menu and systems that will enable them to, you know, engage customers and maintain the latest trends.
What about when it comes to, I mean, I have to imagine that right in March and April, as you were seeing this play out around the country and there were lockdowns, what were the challenges that franchisees faced when it came to real estate and making sure that they could actually pay those landlords? Did you have to adjust any franchise fees? Did you have to work with them at all?
We did. We came in, and fortunately, you know, we performed during the pandemic, but we did offer to our franchisees, those, any of them that had challenges, reduced royalties or deferred royalties and rents. And ultimately all of our franchisees have paid those back during the pandemic.
So it's been okay.
It's been okay.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you,
go ahead.
Okay.
We're both I'm staring at Carol talking about thinking about chicken sandwiches.
A million questions for you, Darren. I was talking to our Bloomberg Intelligence team, Mike Halen, who covers the restaurant space, and he was curious too about how much of a sales boost you've received from your elevated exposure to California, where we know there have been aggressive dining room closures, and helping restaurants like yourself and drive-through sales. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what I would say is, you know, we've had similar performance across all geographies during the pandemic. And so whether it was California or Texas or, you know, other markets that we have, we're in 21 markets around the country.
But you have big exposure in California, right?
We do. We do. It's a substantial portion of our geography. Mm-hmm. But we've seen performance across all geographies. And, you know, our last quarter, in quarter one of this year, we increased 12.5% on our same store sales.
Wow.
So you're not concerned about something like California, you know, disproportionately helping you guys because of the shutdown there? I mean, you have large exposure, massive, shutdown that we've seen in California, that as things start to reopen, that could hurt you on the other side, could become a headwind.
Yeah. Yeah, even in our reported quarterly results in Q1, we've said that we've performed across all geographies, and in markets like Texas, where we've seen them opening up sooner, mm-hmm. we've had similar performance across all the geographies. And I believe some of that's, like I said, is we're doing the right things to connect with our guests. It's resonating, but also things like our mobile app and digital sales have doubled year over year to nearly 7% of sales. And so we think all those are core momentum drivers that are just going to continue, pandemic or not.
Hey, one of our loyal listeners has said, okay, what about plant-based burgers? I mean, you know, food choices for people are changing, right? And I do wonder how you are thinking about that. And we've got about a minute left.
Yeah, we're always looking for opportunities to connect with our guests through innovative products. So we'll be testing a plant-based burger. We also, during the pandemic, tested...
Is that news? Did you just break news with us?
No, we did not.
Darn.
We've always... We did roll out during the pandemic the un-chicken challenge.
Hey, I want to just ask very briefly, and we only have a few seconds left, about the labor market. You took this job in June of 2020. If we would have talked 18 months ago, I think you would have said that the labor market is a challenge. Is it still a challenge for your franchisees to find employees?
It is. It's definitely a challenge. It's even more challenging. And what's interesting is during the pandemic, especially with the stimulus package, we often see employees who take the cash and pocket it and go enjoy a week off. And that always creates a challenge. So we've done everything we can to give our restaurants a competitive edge, whether it's new training programs, new equipment, an environment that's refreshed so that employees want to work with us. And then also just the tools to help serve our franchisees as well so they can focus on really attracting and getting employees who want to serve our guests better.
Darren, thank you so much. Really appreciate this conversation, all the time you gave us. Darren Harris, he's the Chief Executive Officer of Jack in the Box, joining us on the phone on this Tuesday. I do wonder about labor for a lot of these folks as the economy start to open up, where there's going to be a little bit of a scramble.
Yeah, and if they're going to have to start offering more money to employees in order to entice them to retain and attract talent.
Which were some of the stories we were hearing kind of pre-pandemic. Yeah,
exactly.